Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. Get Ireland's first personalised pricing rates made for you.
It's time for even more science, because it is time for Tell Me Why with Graham Finlay. If you have a question for Graham, as ever, you can send it into afternoon@newstalk.com. Today's question: could you explain gravity and where it comes from? Afternoon, Graham.
Afternoon, Sean.
Would it be the case that every single thing has gravity?
Every single thing with mass has gravity.
Okay.
And there are so many paradoxes here that it is quite incredibly complex, but also incredibly inspiring. So we all know that there is gravity. We've seen its effects. We're still here on Earth walking around. And if we don't do a good job of it, we might fall on our face. But, you know, when Newton, I mean, Newton's big breakthrough was to come and see, was to allegedly, even by himself, see an apple fall and wonder why it fell that way. Mm. And he noticed that gravity was a very, very important force, which would explain orbits. Because if the moon was shooting by us, you know, it would, by Newtonian standards, continue in one direction, right? Off into space. Mm. Right? So something had to be pulling it in. And so what is happening when something's in orbit is it's continuously moving forward, but it's being pulled in. So it's sort of falling all the way around the Earth constantly, and that's becomes a stable orbit. Newton saw this and was able to, more important, calculate exactly what the effects of gravity were and how they were attraction between two things with mass.
Right.
So
okay.
So that was very exciting, and it can actually predict most of what we see in very, very large bodies.
Right. Okay. And so when we say mass, we mean a big thing. Like, I don't have gravity.
No, you have gravity. Everything which has any kind of mass, right?
Yeah.
Even light. As you know, depending on, well, light has mass and so forth, and accordingly exhibits the effects of gravity. So just as the Earth is pulling us down, we are pulling up the Earth, just not as much.
Yeah, okay, because the moon is affecting our tides.
Exactly,
kind of,
yeah.
Well.
I mean, the Earth actually bulges on the side the moon is closest to, as well as pulling all the water towards it, right? It also pulls the Earth to it. It's quite amazing when you look at this, how it works on the actual planet. So, in fact, depending on the massiveness of the material under our feet, we might be in a slightly less or more gravitational zone of the planet. And looking at maps of this, I believe Ireland is just a little bit more gravity than some other parts of the world.
Oh, really? That's interesting. So, right, everything with any mass has gravity. I suppose the question is, why is that? What does that come from?
Right. And that is the part we don't know, right? we don't know for sure. So the history of gravity is in many ways the entire history of physics. And this shows you why physics is in many ways the most exciting and beautiful science, with so many things which are not understood, so many things which are postulated only because otherwise they wouldn't make any sense, like dark matter. No one's ever observed it. We have no way of observing it. However, we believe it's actually the bulk of the stuff in the universe because of the gravitational effects. So gravitational effects are really key to us understanding our world and our universe. Mm. And that's kind of funny, because gravity is the weakest of the forces which people talk about. You know, it's massively weaker than the electromagnetic force, which is the other force we can sort of directly observe. And much, much, much less powerful than the forces which hold atoms together and characterize particles, which is the strong force and the weak force. The scientists have some very, very blah sort of names for some things. And yet it's incredibly important for our understanding this. So there are some theories about how it works. Newton thought it was actually a force inside, sort of, or you know, a characteristic of massed objects. Einstein came along. And many of his breakthrough with relativity was, among other things, but maybe especially, his understanding of gravity. Because Newton's math works pretty well for a lot of big stuff, but Einstein's works better for especially things which are going very, very fast, right? Or things which are really, really massive. And so Einstein argued that, in fact, gravity works not because of this force which is in objects, but because mass, especially very massive objects, distorts space-time and takes what is otherwise would be flat, you know, and accordingly something thrown in a direction would just go on in a straight line forever, and curves it. And that's why these two straight lines will eventually come together, which is what we see when we see gravity happening. It gets even more complicated, even just under Einstein. And Einstein's relativity can't explain everything. Yeah. So acceleration and gravity show the same effects. That's why if you're accelerating very, very quickly away, you know, you'll feel the effects of gravity, very similar to gravity, even though it's the acceleration doing the work. And Einstein argued for a lot of things, but one of them was that there would be gravitational waves produced by all these gravitational action. Problem is, gravity is very, very weak force. So how do you detect gravitational waves? Now, Einstein is remarkable because even though this is really out there kind of stuff, it can be and has been many, many, many times experimentally confirmed, right? You can see light bend, you can see gravity affect light, you can see light move towards very, very large, massive objects. Gravitational waves eluded us until 2016 when people discovered them. And the way they discovered them is, like, let's think of the most massive event you can think in the universe, which would be two black holes colliding. Mm. And so they saw, they calculated when the effect from these two black holes colliding would arrive on Earth, and they saw it having an effect in an experimental situation. So that's very, very exciting because it allows us to use gravity as a force to try and understand the universe, because everything, again, you know, has a gravitational attraction, right? If there are gravitational waves, just like electromagnetic waves, and light and so forth, we can use it to see what's out there. Mm. So it's a really, really exciting development. Now, we still, even though we found the gravitational waves, which is progress, we still haven't found the particles, which a lot of people think must exist in order for gravity to happen. These are unimaginatively called gravitons.
Yes.
and they are massless particles which are supposed to swarm around objects which have mass and will cause them to be attracted to each other. We haven't found the gravitons yet. And this is, again, where all of these things come together. You know, throughout the history of science, people have asked, well, are things particles or are they waves? Newton thought particles, you say light, for example. Other people think waves. Einstein was right to say that both of them are right, in a sense. You know, you need both theories to explain how things work, right? Mm. And so it's not surprising, perhaps, that if we have gravitational waves, we have gravitons, gravitational particles. But they are basically equivalent in terms of their action, which, again, is how all of these things work. What they're looking for is the place where all these forces are all joined up and unified in some kind of way. And that's the theory which has eluded us thus far.
Right. Okay. So when the moon is going around us, it's also distorting space-time itself, rather than it's just like rays are being shot out by the Earth and rays are being shot out by the moon.
Exactly, yes. I mean, the idea is that very large objects especially make this obvious. But yes, something as big as the moon or as big as Earth or, you know, or a black hole is really good, right, are distorting space-time. And this is why the general theory of relativity was such an exciting one, right? We like, you know, in describing Newtonian mechanics, I'm talking about three dimensions, right, you know, an object moving through space, whereas time is the fourth dimension. And so instead of just talking about space, we're also talking about time or space-time. Mm. And that's why it's not just distorting space, it's distorting time. And that's why you get all these strange effects at very, very high speeds of people aging slower, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just as your spacecraft, if it's going really, really, really fast, really, really, really fast, shrinks, right? And this is, you can measure this, right? Similarly, time slows down as well, and so there are time effects.
Yeah, because I think they've done tests on this for, say, astronauts who've been in the space station. When they come back down to Earth, now it's
they're just a little bit younger.
They're a little bit younger. It's less than a second. But
I wouldn't recommend it as like a rejuvenation therapy or anything like that.
But that would be the case, though. The closer you get to the speed of light, the more time slows down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is a very odd effect. Now, does that mean then that gravity is everywhere? Say in interstellar space, where you're in between galaxies, is there still gravity even there, where there are no large objects?
It is. I mean, and we shouldn't think of gravity as a thing, right? But we should think of it as a force. And so, yes, I mean, its sort of range is infinite in terms of there's no natural sort of dying off of gravity. But at the same time, as Newton discovered and proved, you know, gravity is a function of the mass of the two objects, right? Mm. And the distance between them squared. That's the calculation. And, you know, very, very long distances means that these gravitational effects are very, very weak. However, they're all there. I mean, weak gravitational effects are the source of everything we can see. I mean, planets were brought together through gravity, and gravity occurring among vast amounts of tiny, tiny particles of dust.
Right.
So why would it be then on some planets the gravitational force is stronger than another? Is that to do with the mass?
It's just the mass of the planet. So, yeah. I mean, mass is sort of, the density of things, right, in some ways, right? And it's all done, it all involves the Higgs boson and so forth. But, yes, weight, right, which is the difference, you know. So your mass is mass, right? But weight is experienced differently depending on the size of the planet you're on. So it's your mass plus the force of gravity pulling down on you, right? So if you weigh 100 pounds on Earth, you weigh 17 pounds on the moon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but that's weight, not mass.
Right. I assume that there's loads of things they still have to discover about gravity because, as you said, fundamentally, they don't know why each thing with mass has gravity.
Absolutely. And this is, I mean, this is maybe the exciting thing about science is what you don't know. And you're right. I mean, so the math is beautiful. It's experimentally provable when we come to relativity. And so it seems like a better explanation. However, and in fact, it does quite well on gravity. However, relativity can't explain some things which happen at really, really, really sort of high energy situations or really, really small situations, right? Or really, really dense situations. So in the sort of 10 to the power of minus 38 seconds, and that's a lot of zeros after the dot, right? After the Big Bang, relativity has a bit of a hard time with it. And so there's this other area, which people will have heard of, quantum mechanics or quantum field theory, which is quite good at unifying the other three forces, electromagnetic force, strong force, and the weak force, right? Unfortunately, it doesn't handle gravity as well as relativity. And so people are now looking for unified, the grand unified theory, which is going to bring gravity in. And the way they look for it is to find a time when all of these forces were blended together, as it were, right? And that's why the quantum field theory is great. It's got those. It's a time just after the Big Bang where all those three forces, except for gravity, were, you know, all indistinguishable from one another, right? At that crazy moment. And so they're looking for trying to find a place, as it were, where gravity and those other three forces are all indistinguishable from each other. That's why a lot of people concentrate on string theory, which is our sort of best, our most successful theory right now, our most popular theory about how these forces might be united in strings, which are vibrating very fast, where these forces are all four forces now are together in the same string-like, items, which are smaller and much, much, much more basic than particles and so forth. So they're looking for that. That would be the grand unified theory. And then they think if they can come up with that theory, they can then come up with the theory of everything,
cool,
which is going to explain all physical activity in the universe. We aren't there yet.
Graham Finley, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by AvantCard. Get Ireland's first personalized pricing rates made for you.